Support for NPR comes from the Annie E. Casey Foundation, announcing Kids Count, a state-by-state look at child well-being and juvenile justice reform at aecf.org.
Good morning. This is AM 580 News. I'm Michael Kuliska. The state of Illinois and the union representing more than 35,000 state employees have reached a tentative deal. A statement on the website of the American Federation of State, County and Municipal Employees says the agreement was reached Friday at talks in Peoria. Ratification meetings will begin in about a week. AFSCME and the state had been stuck in a stalemate for months. One of two campaign workers indicted for forgery and perjury has turned himself in to Lake County authorities. Prosecutors say 50-year-old Kenneth Davison of Waukegan surrendered to sheriff's deputy at the Lake County jail on Friday. Davison and 40-year-old Jerry Knight of Zion are accused of including the names of dead voters on nominating petitions for Democratic State Senator Terry Link. Knight and Davison were indicted on numerous perjury counts and forgery counts. All counts are felonies. Officials say Knight remains at large. Senator Link has denied involvement in any forgeries. He says prosecutors have cleared him of any wrongdoing. Link says because of last year's record-long legislative session, he was in Springfield throughout the summer.
It was fully documented that I gave a person that was also cleared of everything, paid him to get my petition circulated, and he did that. And I guess he hired these two plus others.
Link is facing competition in November's election from Republican businessman Keith Gray. Link says he's suspicious that the indictments are politically motivated. The National Weather Service in Chicago has issued a warning regarding rip currents in Lake Michigan. This summer, rip currents in Lake Michigan have been blamed for the drowning of two teenage swimmers in Indiana. Meteorologist Bill Wilson says the warnings are an extension of those that have been in place on the country's east and west coast for several years. This is AM 580 News. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana. The temperature right now in Urbana, it's 70 degrees, and the time, it's 6.5 minutes past 8.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Robert Smith. Leanne Hansen is on assignment. Russia's president says troops will start pulling back from Georgia into the breakaway Republic of South Ossetia tomorrow. But a day after Russia signed a ceasefire with Georgia, Russian forces appeared to be still tightening their control over Georgian territory. NPR's Gregory Pfeiffer has more from the Russian-occupied city of Gori.
Inside Georgia's pro-Moscow breakaway province of South Ossetia, long lines of tanks, armored personnel carriers, and supply trucks snake their way south from Russia through the Caucasus Mountains toward the rest of Georgia. Russia's so-called operation to bring peace to this region appears to consist of a massive military mobilization. From the back of a Russian army truck crossing the border from South Ossetia into Georgia proper, Russia's occupation has made the landscape seem surreal. Some fields are on fire. Destroyed cars line the road. Villages are empty of people. The only signs of life here are the Russian army vehicles roaring up and down asphalt chipped by tank treads. In central Gori, buildings are bullet-ridden and shop windows broken from looting by South Ossetian separatists. Hours after Moscow signed its ceasefire with Tbilisi, Russian military vehicles still stand on the barren central square. Georgian residents jostle in a line for bread handed out by Russian forces, who say they're here to bring security. Most locals are hungry, very frightened, and don't know what to expect. One jittery man can't remember his last name when asked. Finally recalling it, Lyova Mazmishvili says Georgians want to live under their former Soviet masters. We never should have split from Russia, he says. We're brothers. That's what many people here say in the presence of the Russians. Away from the center, you hear different opinions. Dali Nibaridze says she's afraid of losing her mind. It was a nightmare, she says, of the Russian bombardment of Gori. The Russians just want to show their might, she says. Look what they've done to